Hi, everybody. This is Richard Carafell from Agility, and welcome to PR Profiles, a podcast and video series where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry. And we think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is. And we wanted to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. And today we're speaking with Adam Ritchie. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for joining us. Wonderful to have you. Adam Ritchie is the founder of Adam Ritchie Brand Direction, a firm that uses PR to invent and transform. It serves clients on four continents and brings out the best in brands by helping them grow, communicate, and make the right moves. And he is also an acclaimed author, and most recently of his book, Invention in PR. And we're going to be diving into that today. So welcome to the show, Adam, and we'll just jump right in with the first question here. I really like the way that you dissect this idea of invention in the book. So let me ask you first about this distinction you make early on that really sets up everything that follows. And you say, PR is a creative profession and its practitioners go to great lengths thinking up ways to generate awareness for brands. But there's a difference between creative, quote unquote, PR and creative PR, quote unquote. Doesn't really work in audio, but the difference is invention. And it's fascinating how you went on to describe that. So can you tell us what you mean by that? Because it's really a gateway into all these ideas.
Oh, for sure. So on one hand, what we have always called creative PR, which is creative with a little c, right, means coming up with really cool newsworthy ideas to promote a product or a service from a brand. On the other hand, what I talk about is creative PR with a capital C. And that's, you know, what we call inventive PR or invention first PR, where you are literally coming up with the product or the service for the client that you as a PR person know will be a home run. So kind of after a lifetime of asking clients, you know, what's the product? When's it coming out? Who is it for? How much will it cost? All that stuff. Just to kind of keep myself interested, I started to think, well, what if I went at it from a different angle and said, here's what you might make. Here's what your next product might be. So, you know, as PR people, we're usually at the end of that conveyor belt, and whatever plops onto that belt, we have to go make magic with that thing somehow. This kind of empowers PR people from the very beginning of the process. And you'll never find yourself in a position where you say, well, it's too soon to get PR involved. This gets PR involved before the germ of an idea is even created for the product. So we're creating stuff out of thin air, and we're taking kind of an R&D approach to PR. And, you know, I think it's important because Katie Couric, you know, will define journalism as, you know, it's not just telling people what happened, it's helping them understand why they should care. And I think PR at its most inventive and creative makes something happen that's worth caring about. And at a time when we talk about storytelling, right, as this big thing, and every marketing discipline says they're storytellers, we're in the storytelling profession. It's like, well, yeah, you can't all compete there. I think the final frontier is in the story making profession, not considering yourself a storyteller, but more of an author of what might be. And that's why I think this is kind of the final frontier of the PR profession. And we need it too, because we get clobbered by some of our cousins in marketing and advertising. And if you look at Cannes every year, we're all so frustrated because we keep losing our own category to other disciplines, right? So this is a way to kind of fix that problem and empower people to do it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting approach. And it's obviously a more direct, more aggressive, I suppose, type of PR, you know, and get, you know, just taking a leadership role rather than just kind of getting, you know, thrown things from their other functions.
Yeah, so, Shelley Spector from the Museum of PR called this a no holds barred approach to public relations, which I love.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I like it. And I think we probably could use a little aggression out there these days. And it certainly lends itself to the creative minds, you know, to incorporate that. That's wonderful. And in case everybody's wondering why Adam's moving around the way he is, he's working on his treadmill desk for a client he represents, and he's on his way around the world virtually. So he's making some good miles too. All right, now then you go further to talk about three types of invention, each with its own purpose, you know, for a brand or for a campaign. And you give lots of fantastic examples of all these in the book. But can you break down the three invention types for us?
For sure. It's kind of like an organization system and a grading system all at once. And it helps us like get things categorized and also aim high when we're coming up with them. So I call type one is invention, where you're inventing a whole new product category that's never existed before. Type two is kind of like invention light. It's creation, where you're coming up with a line of products or a product that is newsworthy because it's got a cool story baked into it, but you're not creating a whole new category. And what I call type three is a transformation, where you're taking something every day and in one move, transforming it into something head-turning and newsworthy and extraordinary. And then I kind of go on and break them down a little bit further into, are they useful? Are they frivolous? Are they real? Or are they conceptual? And that's about as far down as I want it to go into the rabbit hole, right?
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, and like, yeah. I said, those are interesting, very interesting concepts, but Adam really breaks it down, you know, in the book with all the examples he offers. I mean, just tons of them, and they're so insightful. So anyway, let's go on here. And as you point out, there's certainly, you know, some risk involved when you're trying to execute something bold like this, you know, as there is with any out-of-the-box strategy. And there are bound to be quote-unquote misses, you know, as you refer to them. And you covered that with some great examples too. Now, is there a particular brand example you could share that kind of captures the reason or the reasoning behind the essence of those misses and what red flags PR could be looking for? Yeah.
There was one just the other day, and it was Pizza Hut, you know, created the world's largest pizza. And it was a giant pizza that took up the whole floor of the LA Convention Center. And that was a miss because we're in the time of food insecurity right now, right? And people don't like waste. And there's also a lot of inflation. Everything kind of combined to say, now Pizza Hut said, oh, we will donate this pizza to local food shelters and food banks, you know, when we're done with this stunt. But really, it's a floor pizza, and you're giving floor pizza to hungry people. Like, it just did not. When you look at something like what their competitors do, say like a Domino's, where Domino's is creating wedding registries, right? They have paving for pizza, where they're filling potholes in communities that were messing with their pizza delivery service. That is true, you know, actually useful, non-frivolous. Like, that's fun invention in PR, and you're not wasting food and causing a potential PR problem for yourself at the same time. So that just kind of shows you that there are fails and pitfalls, but there's always a better way and a more elevated way to do this than the kind of cheap stunt.
That makes total sense. Boy, that Pizza Hut example is a great example of that. I'm wondering how they cook that, but anyway, moving on. Yeah, that is not the right way to get attention or get visibility for your brand.
Right, maybe anyway. In the 90s, you know, but
maybe in the 90s, exactly. There you go. All right, now you know, the section on crisis in the book and on crisis management was particularly interesting because, you know, maybe that's when a lot of PR pros tend to play it safe. You know, the crisis itself is already risky enough to the brand. You can't risk letting the crisis campaign, you know, become another crisis. But you talk about how PR invention can be the best way out. You know, and you cited many examples of this, of course, including that brilliant PR response from KFC, you know, when their UK stores ran out of chicken a while back. Mm-hmm. And that was great. But what's the key takeaway about invention and crisis?
So here was the crisis. Like in the UK, they were running low on chicken, right? They could have done the very typical serious toned, you know, we are very concerned about this shortage and we are serving our customers as the highest priority and blah, 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 blah. Just write out a copy and paste out of the PR crisis playbook, right?
Yep.
What they did instead was they took out a full page ad and put FCK, short for you know what, on their bucket of chicken. And that's how they announced the shortage and reassured people that they were on it. Now, that's so much better. And the rule in that is you can have fun with the crisis or issue if nobody is getting hurt but you.
Mm-hmm. That is a great example, man. I just loved the way they handled that. You know, I thought that went better. That was, if you know, since it happened in the UK, I think it was a better response. I don't know if how well that would have flown, you know, in the US exactly, but you also got to keep your, you know, your cultures in mind when you're doing things like that too. So exactly. All right. So then let's see. You go on to talk about, you know, the habits PR pros should develop to be more inventive and the approach you can take in PR to foster that kind of thinking. And you issue a charge to PR in a chapter that begins with a quote from a business educator, Angel Cabrera. He says, The job of communications professionals isn't just to put out fires, but to light them. Now, tell us how that sums up the charge you're talking about.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that definition of PR, right? It's to do something worth caring about. So I have a list of habits in the book, and I'm not going to bore you, but one thing I don't do is say, here's how to structure your day, and here's how many meditations to do, or here how many naps or cups of coffee to drink. It's all nonsense. And it really comes down to, I think, being insanely organized and having your antenna up. So you've got that antenna up. You're reading things like Bulldog Reporter's Best Campaigns of the Year, right? You're looking at those awards programs and seeing, where is the bar set right now? And where can I take inspiration from this? How can I elevate my stuff to that level? Like, I'm a believer that you shouldn't do a campaign unless you can see that thing on a movie marquee and it will kick ass at all the national competitions. If you're not confident in that, go back and start again, right? And the other thing is, like, I think you have to, Bruce Springsteen calls this, well, it's this concept called the unity of opposites. And Bruce, you know, one time at South by Southwest said, don't take yourself too seriously and take yourself as seriously as death itself. Don't worry, worry your ass off. Have ironclad confidence, but doubt. It keeps you awake and alert. And also, believe that you're the baddest ass in town and also that you suck. And that's the line that you're walking when you're trying to come up with this stuff. And, you know, people will say, if you come up with something and you go, that sounds completely ridiculous, but it might actually work. That might actually be smart. And one example of that I have in the book is the campaign that we did called the Mom Squad, where we took a team of pregnant influencers from different parts of the country and different backgrounds and brought them together to bring out their comic book superhero alter egos, illustrated by a female comic book artist for a baby brand in time for Mother's Day. And that's one of those things where you're like, wait, a team of pregnant comic book superheroes? It sounds completely ridiculous on the surface. But as you get into it and the messaging, you're like, no, we're changing the way people think about pregnancy and the strength of these people, right?
That is funny. That's a great example and a very creative campaign that was. Perfect. So that does sum up the charge. You know, going back to what you said in the beginning, you know, let's put a little aggression out there, you know, take some chances, you know, but reasonable chances. I just like the way you think, Adam, and I really like the book. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, even if you're not brave enough to try some of this stuff, it still makes for a very exciting read and is sure to spark some creative ideas in you. So tell me, Adam, what's the most exciting thing about PR?
Patrice Tanaka summed it up so well, and it starts one of the book chapters, and she said, it's like creating magic, isn't it? You can create something from an idea you think up, and then you can bring it to life through a campaign. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. I've heard, you know, musicians like Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes talk about this, and he talks about, you know, some people like to go into their garage and tinker with an engine, or some people like to go build a deck, and that's what gives them pleasure. They like to write songs, and that's what we like to make. That's what we like to tinker with. So cool campaigns like this that actually result in a physical product that you can hold in your hands, that's what excites me, the ability to go make something.
There you go. Very well said. A little passion goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. What would be your best advice to communications students or new PR pros?
The thing that students really need, which isn't taught in school, is a sense of humor. And I say the best campaigns go for the funny bone, the heart, and the eyebrows. They make people laugh, cry, and say, wow. And the way you do that is you have to have a good appreciation for the absurd. And that's something AI can't really do, right? The machines haven't taken that away from us yet. Because all those great campaigns have those elements, right? I think all new PR pros should also be able to speak to their influences, not influencers, right? Influences. And not just the obvious ones like, you know, oh, I like this Apple or Google campaign, but specific campaigns from challenger brands that continually open their eyes to the power of what this profession can do. I'd also like to urge them to think about thinking themselves as authors instead of storytellers, and idea creation as the thing that trumps all. Budgeting is very important. You know, there's not a lot of attention that's spent on that, but that's the fuel that makes all this work happen. navigating challenging personalities, whether it's tough clients, tough reporters, entitled influencers, tough bosses, jealous colleagues, internal politics. You know, not everyone is out there to be your ally, and people will try to stop you from doing your job. And managing personalities is kind of an art. Two more things. One is emotional regulation. And you can be totally victorious on one hand in one moment while your business takes a hit on the other. And, you know, you can't celebrate the wins too hard, and you can't beat yourself up too much over those losses. And this industry will humble you. And the final one is persistence. And you can be just okay at something, but if you're persistent in the right way, you can still be successful.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good, good stuff. I knew you'd come up with some stuff that you don't learn in school there. I could count on you for that. So that's great. All right. Thank you, Adam. Now, finally, how can people connect with you and grab a copy of the book?
Sure. If you go to inventionnpr.com, you'll be able to grab the book in paperback, in Kindle, and as of this week, audiobook as well.
Sounds great. All right. Well, that's all the time we have, everybody. So again, we've been chatting with Adam Ritchie, the author of Invention and PR and founder of Adam Ritchie Brand Direction. And thanks for joining us today, Adam. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Richard.
All right. Keep logging those miles. All right. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles brought to you by Agility. We've recently added an exciting new feature to our platform. It's called PR Copilot. It employs innovative AI technology to create high quality first drafts of press releases and outreach emails. You can input up to 10 key messages and optional quotes, and within a few seconds, PR Copilot will produce a draft that's ready for editing and refining. Now visit our website, agilitypr.com/PR Copilot to learn more. Okay, and thanks again to Adam, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm Richard Carafell, and we hope to see you on the next episode.